The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. I want to thank each of you who have taken time to write us, and particularly those who have helped with the support of the program. We're thankful to be able to bring messages from God's Word each week and pray that they will be a blessing to all that listen. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I hope that you will write this week and let us know that you've listened, and if you can help us at this time, this is a 5-Sunday month, and so the need is particularly great. We continue today with the message, The Peace of God. The text is Philippians chapter 4, beginning with the 4th verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We first identified a problem, that in our human nature we are prone to worry, but worry is a sin, and we're told here to be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't be worrying. And then we've looked at a solution, to rejoice in the Lord always. And the promise is that there will be peace given us. And we've observed that while we are prone to worry, the solution is to rejoice always in the Lord. And so we come today to speak about that joy. And this joy that we have is vitally connected to the knowledge of the truth about God. If somebody doesn't understand the truth about God, they're not going to be able to have this kind of joy. If their concept is that the God that they worship is limited, he can only do certain things but might not be able to accomplish others, then certainly that's going to be very limiting when it comes to trying to rejoice. But the more we know about God, the more we understand the truth about God, the more we're into his word and see what he's revealed about himself, the greater our joy. Psalm 21, verse 1 says that we're to rejoice in his strength. Thinking of that, we go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Listen to this description of the greatness of our God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Oh, yeah. You read that and you say, I get what the psalmist is talking about. Rejoice in his strength, his power. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is the God in whom we trust. This is the God upon whom we depend. God of power. Rejoice in his strength, in his power. Rejoice in his sovereignty, that he has absolute authority. He has the right to accomplish whatever he designs. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. He doeth according to his will. He's never asked for any counsel or advice. In fact, that passage in Isaiah chapter 40 goes on to discuss that issue. And here he's saying that he does according to his will. Not going to be advised by somebody that says, I just don't think that's the way God ought to operate. Or I don't understand why God's doing this or doing that, as though he's got to defend himself. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? No demon of hell can interfere. No wicked man upon this earth can challenge his sovereign acts. No, none can stay his hand or rightfully say, Lord, what are you doing? We rejoice. We rejoice in his power. We rejoice in his sovereignty. Isn't that consoling today to know that God's on the throne? Some of the people I've had conversation with that are continually using the word worry are not believers. I've tried to witness to them and tell them about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, and therefore to be able to have confidence in God in such a trying time as this. But when a person's in the dark, they haven't been enlightened to see the way, they haven't been adequately convicted of their sin, they muddle on worrying, fretting. They don't have one to whom they can turn. They don't have one where they can find confidence and hope as you who are believers in Jesus Christ. And then certainly we should rejoice in his salvation. That passage to which we just referred, Psalm 21, verse 1, we'll get the whole verse this time. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? The king's going to rejoice in the strength of God, in the salvation of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, who commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, isn't that something to rejoice in, to rejoice in this salvation? That while we were yet sinners, we were rebels, we were enemies, we deserved nothing. God was not obligated to us, but he gave his son Jesus Christ, sent him in the fullness of time to go to the cross. He willingly laid down his life. He shed his blood. He paid the price. He did for us what we could never have done for ourselves, could not even contribute to it. And so Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Sometimes when worry is creeping up and you're trying to deal with it, come back and think about this. I'm redeemed. I've been bought and paid for. Christ died for me while yet I was a sinner. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that reason to rejoice? Think about it. The children of God. Not every member of the human race is a child of God. Those who are his children are those that have been born again. They've been adopted into his family. What a position, what a privilege, what a joy to think I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King. As a father, he's the perfect father. He cares about me. He cares enough to support me and encourage me. He cares enough to love me. He cares enough to teach me. He cares enough to chasten me, training me, determined to make something out of me. Yes, children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's just phenomenal. I don't think any of us can come close to grasping that, to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That everything that he has is ours. By its grace, if so be that you suffer with him, that ye may be also glorified together. So you suffer now, you go through troubles and difficulties now, but He's looking to that day that you'll be glorified, conformed perfectly to his image, and all of the sufferings, all of the troubles, all of the struggles, all of the conflicts will all be behind you, will all be over forever, glorified, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice in his promises. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What a promise. Somebody might make that promise to you and it wouldn't be worth anything, because they would say, I'll never leave you. And next week they leave. But when God says, I will never leave you, you can put it down. That's as good as done. God keeps his promise. And then Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God will supply all your need. Then the next part of this passage. Let your moderation be known to all men. Now somebody might say, what's that got to do with the subject? I thought we're talking about peace. We're talking about the fact that worry is a sin and we ought not to worry. How did this get interjected into it? Well, it's put there as the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so obviously it's a vital part of it. What does it mean? Moderation doesn't mean compromising the truth. It doesn't mean an attitude of indifference. It doesn't mean that you reach the point to say, well, I've just struggled with so much trouble and I've worried so much, I've just gotten to the place, I don't even care. It doesn't even matter. That's not what it's talking about. What is it? It's a gentle spirit. It's forbearance. Someone has described it saying they feel the best definition, looking at the original language and translating it for us, would be to say sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness, mercy toward others, a gracious spirit, gracious humility. What has it got to do with overcoming worry and rejoicing? Well, you see, if you're focused on self, if there is no humility, so you're focused on self, you're thinking about self-esteem, you're thinking about what you can do to get ahead, and you're constantly frustrated and fretted because you believe that there are others being prospered when you should have had what they have, and so there's envy and jealousy, and all of those things enter into it, and all of this leads to instability and anxiety. So there needs to be gracious humility. Humbly thanking God for whatever you have, whatever he has given you. Having the spirit and attitude of the patriarch Jacob, who said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. If a person has this spirit, they're not easily offended. They're not harboring hard feelings. Yes, this is all a part of it. Let your moderation be known to all men. And notice that in what we've observed thus far, in each case we're pointed to the Lord. When it says to rejoice in the Lord, then Paul says in the 13th verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Say, I'm having a tough time with this. I don't see how I can rejoice all the way in the Lord. Then you turn to the Lord for help. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. What's the next thing? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. You're not there struggling by yourself. He hasn't left you alone and said, just work it out. Do the best you can. The Lord is near. The Lord is there to help. The Lord is there to guide you. The Lord is there to hold you up. The Lord is there to give you strength. He is at hand. So if you're mindful of his presence, mindful of his promises, then you see, you're not going to be anxious. You're not going to be worrying. You're not going to be fretful. And then the next thing that he tells us is prayer. Prayer with thanksgiving. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. That's the lesson. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I talked to a person one time and said, you know, I just have a lot of trouble just opening up to anybody. I feel like I need help. I feel like I need somebody to understand me. But I'm reluctant to do that. It's not my nature. And I struggle with that. And I feel very much alone because I don't have anybody that I can really talk to. So let me tell you one that's ready to hear you. The Lord himself. The psalmist says, pour out your heart before him. And the Lord already knows all the details of your life. If you were talking to a friend, there's some things you wouldn't tell him. But you can tell God everything because he already knows you inside out. Pour out your heart before him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's a blessing to consider, isn't it? We have a high priest who is sensitive. One who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that reason to rejoice that we have a high priest? We can go to him, directly to him, pour out our heart, confess our sin, find forgiveness in him, and he understands all about us. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So if we're going to rejoice in the Lord always, if we're going to refrain from worry, we're not going to be full of anxiety, then we're to pray. Pray. But there's something about that that's vital. Pray with thanksgiving. Come before God in humble submission. Not challenge God's providence. Lord, I just don't understand all that you're doing. No, you can admit that you don't, but let it not be a complaining spirit. You're coming humbly before him, casting all your care. That's what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you take all that worry, all that anxiety, and you cast it upon him. You come with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's a theme oft repeated throughout Scripture. The apostle certainly is emphasizing it here in this portion. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That means then when you're turning to the Lord, you're coming to him to pour out your heart, you're going to make your request known, you start with thanksgiving. How easy it is to run past it. We've got a heavy burden, there are many things we want to lay out before the Lord. And so we rush right in, begin to make our request. But make your request known with thanksgiving. What a difference that makes. I've talked to people who were so depressed they couldn't think for the moment about anything for which to give thanks. That's a dreadful state of mind. Maybe just take a piece of paper and sit down, write out a list helping you remember the things that you have for which to give thanks. Give thanks for his promises. Thanks for the hope of eternal life. Thanks for his continuing work in your life, because it says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're still working. In spite of my failures, my shortcomings, that you still love me. You still care for me. Thank him for that undying love. Thank him for the gospel. What a blessing to hear the gospel of the grace of God. Multitudes have never heard that true message, but you've heard it. Your heart has been open to receive it. You want to hear it over and over again. The good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, that he came here to save his people from their sins and did the work that was given him by the Father to do. Give thanks for the gospel. Give thanks for the church. Give thanks for the fellowship that we have as believers. Then give thanks for your family, for your friends. Give thanks for the daily provisions that you enjoy, that you have food to eat and a place to stay. On that list can go. And above everything else, give thanks, as the apostle said, for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how desperate our situation might be, we could always say with the apostle, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And then we come to a blessing received. Verse 7 of this fourth chapter of Philippians. God given peace. And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. What a wonderful thing. Conflict, turmoil, war, worry, anxiety are dreadful. But peace, peace like a river, is a blessing from God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Is your mind stayed on him? If you get to the place that all you're thinking about are troubles. All you're thinking about is this crisis we're facing in our nation and around the world today. Yes, you're going to be full of anxiety. But I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, on the Lord. Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And then Jesus said shortly before his crucifixion in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. It passes understanding. It's beyond human comprehension. It's beyond human inventions and insights and philosophies and ideas. It's a blessing that is from God. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Can't find out, understand, be able to grasp all the ways of God. I've had people say to me when they'd lost a loved one and their heart was broken, they'd say, but you know, I have the sweetest peace I've ever had. That's peace that passeth understanding. We can have that peace in these trying times in which we are living. And it says it guards your heart. It guards your mind and your heart. It's a military term. It's just as soldiers would guard a city, God protects the believers from worry and fear by this peace. This peace doesn't eliminate the trials, but it gives you peace in the midst of them. And then in verse 8 of this passage, Paul gives what I like to refer to as Paul's think list. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You keep mulling over in your mind the troubles that surround you, and you'll be prone to worry. You think on these things. So much in that, it's not time to deal with it just now. We'll come back to it at another time. But here are the things you're to think about. And so we're told we're to rejoice in the Lord always. We're not to worry. We're to let our moderation be known to all men. We're to make our requests known with thanksgiving. And we're to think on these things. And then verse 9. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
I have used this fourth chapter, Philippians, verses 4 through 9, frequently in counseling over the years. And I remember distinctly one person coming back and saying, well, it didn't work. I said, what do you mean it didn't work? Well, I did everything it supposed to, or it wanted you to do. I tried to comply with all of the instruction. I rejoiced. I prayed. Went down the list, but I'm same old person, same old things. I have the same old struggles. Nothing has changed. I said, did you read verse 9? Well, I don't remember. What verse 9 say? Well, the apostle says, these things that you have been taught by me and seen in me, do. And the word that is translated do in our English version means to perform repeatedly, habitually, make it a practice. So you don't just do this one time. This is not a quick fix that you run down the list one day and the next day everything's glorious and great. This becomes a way of life. You do it repeatedly. You do it habitually. To give in to worry is devastating. It's extremely discouraging. It can keep you even from the duties of life. What's worse, it's a sin. It dishonors God because it means that you're not trusting. You may be given lip service to say, oh, I believe God's sovereign. But if you're worrying, you're not trusting him. So worry is a sin. But what a blessing that in the time of crisis, the crisis now sweeping over the world through Jesus Christ, you can have peace which passeth understanding. Read this passage over every day this week. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice always in the Lord. Do not worry. Do not be filled with anxiety. Do not fret. Do not doubt. Do not fear. And as you trust him, the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this passage of Scripture. We pray that thou would give us understanding of it. Give us special grace to be able to utilize it, apply it in our lives. That in the weakness of the flesh, when we're prone to worry, we'll confess worry is a sin. We'll come humbly to the throne of grace, asking for strength that we might be able to trust thee in the darkest and most difficult of times. We pray that thou would bless us all to learn in our trials, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless each one who has listened to this message today. Work in each life according to thy sovereign pleasure to bring about that which will be for their good and thy glory. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you would like to get this complete message, The Peace of God, on CD, request that when writing us this week, and you can also request the booklet, Things Can Be Better Today. I look forward to hearing from you, and until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.